WWBC 1510 AM. That's at 10:30 of a morning. If you happen to miss that, you can go to WMIEFM.com and you can click on the Listen on Demand feature. Type in a date. Today would be June the 22nd, 2021. You can't do that while the program is going. You can listen live while it is going, but it's a little bit later in the day before it shows up that it is available to listen on demand. But you can click in a date, June the 2nd, 2021, and that will give you a mini menu over there that will have several different programs that you will have available to listen. And you can click refresh with Pastor Bob Arthur's, and you can download it, listen then. You can save it and listen to it later. It's amazing technology that you can take the radio program with you wherever you go. So we want to invite you to turn in your scriptures this morning to the book of Isaiah, chapter 16. Isaiah chapter 16, and we are going to do what we did yesterday a little bit as well, and that is we're going to read it to you from the New King James Version, and then we are going to read it from the Amplified Version as well, and it's going to add some clarity as to the context and what is actually being discussed in chapter 16 here. So let's read verses 1 through 5. Isaiah chapter 16, verses 1 through 5. And it says this: Send the lamb to the ruler of the land, from Selah to the wilderness, to the mount of the daughter of Zion. For it shall be as a wandering bird thrown out of the nest, so shall be the daughters of Moab at the fords of Arnon. Take counsel, execute judgment. Make your shadow like the night in the middle of the day. Hide the outcast. Do not betray him who escapes. Let my outcast dwell with you, O Moab. Be a shelter to them from the face of the spoiler, for the extortioner is at an end. Devastation ceases. The oppressors are consumed out of the land. In mercy, the throne will be established, and one will sit on it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking justice, and hastening righteousness. So here's what it says in verse number 3 of Isaiah chapter 16, the Amplified Version. This is verses 3 through 5. Say to the ruler, give counsel, execute justice. This is for Moab, O king of Judah. Make your shade over us like night in the midst of noonday. Hide the outcast. Betray not the fugitive to his pursuer. Let our outcasts of Moab dwell among you. Be a sheltered hiding place to them from the destroyer. When the extortion and the extortioner have been brought to naught and destruction has ceased, and the oppressors and they who trample men are consumed and have vanished out of the land, then in mercy and loving kindness shall a throne be established, and one shall sit upon it in truth and faithfulness, in the tent of David, judging and seeking justice, being swift to do righteousness. Let's look at verse number 1 as well. You Moabites, now fugitives in Edom, which is ruled by the king of Judah, send lambs to the ruler of the land from Selah or Petra through the desert and wilderness to the mountain of the daughter of Zion. So here there are refugees, there are fugitives, people who are being sought for destruction by their government, and the cry is to the king of Judah, and it says, execute justice. Make your shade over us like night in the midst of June. And what they're saying is, provide us the safety that we need, because we are being persecuted where we came from. It says, hide the outcast, betray not the fugitive to his pursuer. Do you realize that at one point in time, Jesus was being pursued and he took up refuge in the land of Egypt? The reason that he had to do that, I mean, there was twofold. One was to fulfill prophecy, and the second was he was not ready to go to the cross yet. The time wasn't right. And I don't know if you have ever been in a place where you had people who were looking out for you. I interact with people pretty frequently who are in a environment where they are looking to, you know, there are people looking to cancel them all of the time. Many times it is because of their religious affiliation, the message that they carry. We have the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. You know who doesn't want the gospel of Jesus Christ to impact a people group? Satan. Satan does not want the good news of Jesus Christ reaching communities that he has bound in sin. He wants to prevent that message from getting there. He wants to prevent captives from being set free. But Jesus wants us to take the good news to the ends of the earth. And so that's what we do. And God's plan will come to pass. It will not be thwarted. There are some people who experience what we're seeing in America right now, of cancel culture, and it could be because of their religious views. It could be because of their political views. And I will tell you that just because a person has a political view doesn't mean that it's necessarily a spiritual view. I'll say that again. Just because a person has a political view doesn't mean that it's necessarily a godly view or a spiritual view. So there are people and who, once they get a taste of power, what is the old saying? Power corrupts, but absolute power corrupts absolutely. So there are people who, once they get into a position of power, they want to treat anybody with differences than what they've got, like the king of Moab was treating these refugees. He was looking to have them destroyed. Solomon was a king who, you know, had great wisdom, but Jeroboam was anointed to be king, and as a result of that, Solomon sought to destroy Jeroboam the same way that Saul had tried to destroy David. And Jeroboam ended up taking refuge in, of all places, Egypt. And then he came back, and when he got onto the throne, he sat on the throne. And this is very important for you to understand why people do the things that they do. He had a position of authority, but he sat in it from a position of insecurity. He created idolatry in the 10 tribes of Israel, the 10 northern tribes of Israel, sometimes known as Ephraim. He created idols in two different places, and he proposed it out of convenience. We don't want you to have to go all the way to Jerusalem in order to make your sacrifices and to worship. But if you read the Word of God, you'll find out that the real reason was he knew that if they went back to Jerusalem to worship, they were going to see the spiritual distinction between the two, and they were going to revert back to living under Rehoboam's rule, who succeeded Solomon. Insecure people are many times threatened by anybody who has any position different than they are. It's very paradoxical. They seem to be extremely powerful, but at the same time, they're extremely insecure. Can I tell you the solution to this? The solution is Jesus. The solution is Jesus revealing to you who you are in Christ, what he has called you to do, and that he surrounds you with other people redeemed by Christ with skill sets that will complement yours so that the work of God can be accomplished in our day and time. We don't have to be threatened by people. So I was told one time that pastors tend to be some of the most insecure people on the planet. Well, I don't know that that is necessarily the case, because I know people from just about every line of work that if somebody gets a compliment and they don't get a compliment, they're extremely threatened by that. Here's my philosophy, and my two daughters had served with us, and so in different capacities. One of them led the children's ministry till she got married. We've now got a pastor's daughter that is doing our children's ministry, and we are very, very grateful for them. But my goal for a children's leader has always been a person that thought children's ministry was the most important ministry in the church. And so I would never be threatened if the children's ministry was succeeding in an off-the-chart level. I would be thrilled by that. I looked for a youth pastor. One daughter just got married. She was my youth leader. And she was really, really good at it. Both of them were really, really good at it. And I looked for a youth pastor that thought youth ministry was the most important ministry in the church. I've got a worship leader who understands how important worship is in the church. I got an office manager who understands how important it is to make sure that everything is running smoothly and appropriately. And I happen to be a pastor that thinks that the Word of God is the preeminent ministry in the church. I believe that there ought to be evangelists in the church that believe reaching the lost is the most important. You see, there's a whole scope of ministry that God gives all of us to, and one person's success should never be a threat to anybody else who is called to do something in a different field. So, I had to give up a long time ago comparing Merit Assembly of God to any other church, because Merit Assembly of God is not any other church. It doesn't mean that I can't learn from other churches, but I'm not going to condemn myself for someone else's success, and I'm not going to condemn someone else's success just to try and make me feel better about the ministry of Merit Assembly of God. Instead, I'm going to rejoice with those who rejoice. I'm going to try and comfort those who mourn. Let's not be so insecure that we're threatened by people who are coming up. Amen. I'll amen myself. So the message to the king was, make sure that you provide shelter for those who are being sought for destruction. It says in verse number 4, for the extortioner is at an end and devastation ceases. The oppressors are consumed out of the land. In other words, the greatest form of refuge that you could provide is to deal with removing the things that are seeking their destruction. The art of capitulation is not going to accomplish what you want it to accomplish. Now, I will say this. In fact, I absolutely love this meme, and it said something along this line. It's been a few weeks since I've seen it. The very people who were martyred by Saul celebrated when the Apostle Paul entered the kingdom of heaven. That's the kingdom. So if I can reach someone who's oppressing somebody, they may be one of the greatest ministers, one of the greatest tools that God could ever use. So you've got to deal not just with the providing the refuge part, but you've also got to deal with the condition, with the situation. Why is this person being pursued in the first place? And I don't have time today to get into those in authority, or that God is the ultimate authority. Then there's those in authority over me. There's the level of authority that I have, and there are those under the authority that I've got. But we've got to make sure that everybody is lining up under God. If anybody moves out from underneath that God-ordained order of the way he wants things done, them and everybody under them is in a precarious position, because one day God will deal with all of that rebellion. Once that has taken place, once the oppression has ended, once the spiritual climate has changed, look at what it says is going to take place. In mercy, the throne will be established. And one, capital O, that means God, will sit on it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking justice and hastening righteousness. So, I remember a saying that one of the elder men told me when we were very early in the days of ministry at Merit Assembly of God. He said, it is no problem for dictators to stay in power if they're willing to kill their own people. And I've never forgotten that. I've forgotten a lot of other things that people have said, but I've never forgotten that statement. If a person is so insecure that they've got to eliminate all opposition to themselves, then, you know, they may have a successful reign here on earth, but they're going to have a miserable eternity. So we want to use the authority that God gives us. Listen to how God on the throne will operate. In mercy, the throne will be established. Well, if you remember just the other day, last week, we were talking about that to order and establish with judgment and justice from that time forward. The throne is going to be a throne established in justice, but it is also going to be a throne established in mercy. It's not one or the other. It's established both. Both of them are true. God is just and God is merciful. Aren't you thankful that God has a heart of compassion for us? And the person who can operate in mercy is not a person of weakness. They're a person of phenomenal strength, a person of phenomenal wisdom. And so God says, if you will provide a safe haven for those who are being sought out for destruction, if you will deal with the oppression. So let me put this in a different context other than a political context. Maybe you've got something in your life. This is not in my notes, so I'm feeling like God wants me to share this for somebody. Maybe you've got a habit that is trying to destroy you. You might have a drug habit. You might have an alcohol habit. You might have some, you might have an addiction in some other area of your life, but make no mistake about it. The enemy wants to use any addiction that you have in your life to destroy you, to destroy your marriage, to destroy you spiritually, intellectually, physically. It might not be any of those things. You might have an oppressor that is trying to destroy your health. Okay? Don't wait. Don't wait until you're on your last leg or dealing for your last breath. Deal with that enemy right now and get it out of the way so that God can operate in mercy. Okay? In mercy, the throne will be established, and the one will sit on it, capital O again, that's God, will sit on it in truth in the tabernacle of David. Judging, seeking justice, and hastening righteousness. Now, one of the least known name or titles for God is the judge of the spirits of all mankind. You can find that in the scripture. It's there. Jesus is the judge. Okay? There's going to be a great white throne judgment where everybody who has not accepted Jesus is going to be judged. What did you do with your relationship with Jesus? Did you believe him? Did you ask him to forgive you of your sins? Did you live for him? Did you allow him to be the Lord of your life? There are going to be others who say, no, I rejected him. And they will be removed from God's presence for all of eternity. Okay? There is another judgment seat. It's called the Bema Seat of Christ. And that is where believers are going to be judged, not according to whether we're going to be saved or not saved, but as to the works that we've done, whether we've done those works by faith, whether we've done them to the glory of God, whether we've done them in obedience to God, not for our sake, but for the sake of those around. And Jesus is going to judge that situation as well. God sits on the throne in mercy, but he also sits there to judge. I know that judgment is not a popular thing in America. You know, used to be John 3:16 was the only verse that people remembered. And now the only verse that people know is judge not lest you be judged. Well, let's show a little bit maturity. Let's look at the word of God and see what it means. It means we're not in the condemning business. We're not there to condemn people. We're there to try and get them to put their faith in Jesus Christ. That is really what that means. We don't make superficial judgments. We make righteous judgments. We don't judge by our emotions. The word of God makes the judgments. Okay? Jesus is going to sit on the throne. He is going to judge, and he is going to be seeking justice. Not just from a philosophical standpoint, but from an application standpoint. See, justice is for everybody in the land. If someone is out to destroy you and it is an unjust pursuit, then justice demands that everything that is necessary be mobilized so that justice is restored to the situation. So there are some very unjust cultures in the world. And I'm going to put the simple definition. They are unjust because they are depriving people of the opportunity to hear about the goodness of God. Some people were literally terrified that Christians were going to one day rule and reign in America. They said, they're going to legislate morality. No, what we do is we give people the opportunity to choose. To live for Jesus or not to choose for not to live for Jesus. It's simply a choice. God gave you a choice. I can't make you live for Jesus any more than I can, you know, dunk a basketball. I can't dunk a basketball. Too short, too old, not enough muscles. Jesus is going to sit on the throne judging and seeking justice, and he is going to be doing another thing, and that is this. He is going to be hastening righteousness. Hastening righteousness. That means when the judgment has been made and justice has been decreed, that things are going to be returned to their right standing in a very, very quick manner. Very quick manner. I don't know about you, but that sounds extremely exciting to me. And so I want that. I want God doing that. Let's look at what it says here in the Amplified. It says, in verse number 5, then in mercy and loving kindness shall a throne be established, and the one shall sit upon it in truth and faithfulness in the tent of David, judging and seeking justice and being swift to do righteousness. That one says he will be sitting upon the throne in truth and faithfulness in the tent of David. For some reason, when I was preparing, I kept thinking about Solomon when he came to the throne, and there were two ladies and one baby, and each of them were claiming to be the mother. And nowadays, that would not be a problem. Nowadays, there would be DNA testing, and they could remedy that situation in very short order. But just because the technology didn't exist back in Solomon's day did not mean that there was not a solution. Solomon's solution wasn't blood type. It wasn't DNA. It wasn't any of that. Solomon's solution was, let's find out who has the mother's heart for this child. And the heart was revealing as to which one of them was truly the mother of the child. And that just decision, that wise decision, resonated throughout the world, because people said, wait a minute, we've got to go here. The Queen of Sheba said, I need to have an audience with the king, because I need to see this king that operates with wisdom, with mercy, with righteousness and justice. I pray that you and I will be living billboards to the justice of God, and we will hasten righteousness wherever our influence extends. God bless you so much. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
We're gonna dance.